Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the
I'm
SML
Podcast. Simpsons.
What?
I just wanted to interrupt you.
I can tell you wanted to. It's the SML Podcast. Aki's here. Jacob's here. How are you two doing?
Pretty good.
Now that you're interrupting me. That's how the show's going. Jacob.
You sound like a bunch of Sims.
That's how they talk, right? Simlish?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
You sounded like you were having a stroke. Does everything smell like burnt toast right now?
No, it smells like berries and cream because I am drinking berries and cream RC cola.
Berries and cream.
That's immediately what I thought of too.
Hell yes.
Is that about that drink? Because I know I've
no.
I've
it's seen about Starburst or Skittles.
I thought it was Skittles. It?
Yeah.
Okay, Skittles.
Knew it was one.
God,
of those.
I hate that commercial. It's so fucking creepy.
I'm a little lad who loves berries and cream.
Guy looks so creepy.
So crazy, crazy week. It's been a long one. If people are wrestling fans, they know shit's been crazy with the wrestling world. But video games have had a fun week as well. The Xbox conference was this past Sunday.
Yes.
And there's a lot to go through.
Yep, and I like a lot of it. So
we're going to skip it, right?
No, because it was great. Oh.
No, we have to discuss it. That's the point of doing the show.
I thought it was so we get free games.
Well, fair enough. I can't argue with that. But this is also the day where we do news. So. Yeah.
So they started off the show with a video for Redfall. It's the new game from Bethesda and Arkane Austin. 4-player co-op shooter. It's going to be launching 2023 on Xbox, PC, Cloud, and Game Pass, which is going to be a heavily used term for the next, half hour or so. Just Game Pass.
Or so.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we can just state this now. I'm pretty sure every last single game on there is coming to Game Pass, period.
So I don't know. I think there's one or two that aren't.
Then let's just say this isn't coming to Game Pass. That way you don't have to say coming to Game Pass 5 billion times. Just everyone assume, unless we say otherwise, it's on Game Pass. Because Game Pass is fucking amazing. Even if a bit expensive. Worth the value, though, if you can afford it. You know, for Redfall, I'm kind of conflicted. Because on one hand, I'm really fucking tired of Left 4 Dead-like games. There's been way too many of them recently.
They swear it's not Left 4 Dead.
It is. I don't care what they say. But the beginning of that trailer made it look like it was a fucking single-player game, and I got really excited. It's like, oh, that looks kind of cool. And then it obviously opened up into, oh, no, this is Redfall. And I was like, oh, damn it. You just ruined my excitement. Why'd you do that?
Just so to piss you off.
Probably. It's specifically to piss me off.
Yeah, you.
Not people like me, just me.
You directly.
Yep. From some of the co-op stuff it showed, it seems like it could be kind of interesting because they seem to be taking stuff out silently, and it didn't alert other enemies.
I know
you
like
your
stealth, so.
Yeah, so if that ends up being like a big thing, kind of like Rainbow Six Extraction, I think it was called, that would be pretty cool. Otherwise, if it's just, you know, like Back for Blood and all that other stuff, I'm just like, I can really do without this. Because I'm so burnt out on those types of games now.
Well, everything has to be a co-op shooter anymore, so.
Yeah.
The next game, shockingly, was not a co-op shooter. Hollow Knight Silksong is going to be a day one Game Pass.
If it ever comes out.
Well, it's supposed to be out in the next year. They said everything on this showcase would be out within the next year.
Yeah, but I feel like they've been saying stuff like that about that game specifically for a very long time now.
I don't know. It looked pretty far along, so we'll see. They didn't give a date, so who knows when it's actually coming out, but it will be on Game Pass. And if you're a Hollow Knight fan, I mean, everyone's been waiting for news on it, so at least this narrows it down to the next year.
Hopefully.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Next game was High on Life, a console launch exclusive from Squanch Games coming out in October. It is a day one Game Pass game. And again, Squanch Games, you might know them as Justin Roiland's game studio from Rick and Morty.
Yes, yes.
So everything in the game sounds too. Like Morty.
Yeah. Yep. And I'm for that. That game looked fun. That I really am looking forward to that. It just looks fun, bright and colorful. I like it.
Jacob, what were your thoughts on High on Life? That seems like something that'd be up your alley.
I did not see the trailer for it.
Did you watch any of this?
I think I watched maybe all of 5 minutes. I was following it on Twitter though because I was working.
You should go check it out. It looks really good.
Yeah, High on Life looks really cool.
As long as they keep the humor up, I think I'll like it. Lots of people are worried about the humor, but I like the Rick and Morty humor, so I'm really looking forward to this. This just seems fun and it's bright and colorful.
I just love that Justin Roiland is always finding ways to make games where he just talks forever.
Yeah, well.
I mean, Trover Saves the, what was it, Universe or World? Which one was it?
The Universe, I think.
I don't know. Trover Saves whatever. He talked the entire thing. And he just made jokes the entire game, and it was fucking hilarious. And I'm excited to see what they do with High on Life.
Yeah, and this one I can play because it's, you know, looks good, and yeah. It doesn't seem to have any flashing, so I'm all for it. I'm looking forward to playing this game.
I was less excited about the next batch of content, which was Game Pass is getting a ton of PC and mobile stuff from Riot Games this winter. All the champions in League of Legends and League of Legends Wild Rift, Foundation set unlocked in Legends of Runeterra, select Little Legends unlocked in Teamfight Tactics, and all agents unlocked in Valorant. None of those coming to console, PC, and mobile.
You wouldn't want any of that shit on the console.
I mean, there's a lot of people excited about it, but I don't care at all.
Wait, what is it coming to?
PC and mobile.
Oh, I thought you said it wasn't coming to PC, console, and mobile, and I'm like, then what is it coming to?
It's not coming. It's not coming to console.
Okay,
you wouldn't want it on console anyways. There's no way you'd ever be able to win against PC players in games like that. That's very specifically made for PC players. But if you're into these types of games, it is a good price point because it's unlocking all the original people for lots of these games, which takes a long time or a bunch of money. So it is a pretty good value.
No, it's an amazing value if you play them. Yeah. I just don't play them, so I don't care.
Yeah, I'm not interested either. But
and also to go in with this, I mean, I really think Microsoft is heading towards mobile again. They want somebody else to take care of it. I mean, that's, in my opinion, part of why they bought Activision Blizzard, because then they get access to all of King's shit.
Yeah.
And this is just more of it. So as long as it's very logical. Yeah, well, yeah, of course, for us consumer whores.
Yes. Now that Windows Phone is dead.
You can still play Sudoku, you know.
Yeah, but that's not on Windows Phone.
Well, yeah, but it's on iOS.
Yeah. I'm saying Windows Phone is dead.
You're... Oh, my God. Yes, we covered that.
Anyways, next piece of news, because no one cares about this one.
A Plague Tale Requiem was shown off. Coming out this year, 2022.
Yes, yes, yes. I want this for review. So bad.
If we get it.
Hound them. This is one of the few games I'm going to be like, no, you email them every day if you have to. I want this. This is one of the very few games I need to have. Granted, we'll see what happens. Regardless, I'm going to own it anyways because I've already bought the collector's edition.
Well, there you go. So you already have it.
God, I can't wait for that to come in. I want it so bad.
The game I want so bad is up next. Forza Motorsport, coming out spring 2023, day one Game Pass. Looks fucking ridiculous. It's going to have live ray tracing during races, not just during replays and during photo mode. It's going to be a visual treat.
Yeah, sadly, I'm not particularly big on racing games, and most of the graphical upgrades, I really can't tell. So
no.
None of this really did. I kind of spaced out during this because it was like, oh, racing game, and oh, graphics, okay. It looks the same as the last like three or four of them to me.
Oh, no, it doesn't. It looks amazing.
As I said, to me, they all look just as pretty as each other. I can't tell you the difference in any of them. Like, okay, maybe the cars move faster? I don't know. I can't even tell when it goes from 30 to 60 FPS other than your character moves further in the same amount of time. That's the only thing I notice. So it's like,
Jacob, any thoughts on Forza?
I mean, is it going to look pretty? Yes, but I'm more of a Forza Horizon kind of guy. So
there's a difference.
Yeah. Forza Horizon's more arcadey. And Forza Motorsport. World. Yeah. And Forza Motorsport is track-based and more realistic.
Oh.
So, yeah, because every single time thing. Joe's just like, oh my god, man, this one's getting delisted. You better go buy it. Like, for the motorsport ones, I'm like, oh shit, I better go buy it. And then I buy it, play it for 5 minutes, and I'm like, wait, I suddenly remember why I don't care when these go. Because it's the Horizon ones that are the only ones I care about.
Okay, yeah, if I was going to pick between the two, I'd probably for Horizons as well, then.
Yeah, most people like the Horizon one more, but I'm excited for Forza Motorsport Prime. I think it looks really good. I'm excited to see...
Is Prime actually at the name of it?
No.
Or is it just...
No.
Yeah, okay, all right.
It's Forza Motorsport.
Right, that's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah. After that, they showed off some more content for Microsoft Flight Sim. A Halo Infinite add-on is available now, and then a 40th anniversary content is coming in November.
I'm sorry, yeah, what year?
40th anniversary.
Jesus, I didn't think the game had been around that long.
Yep, Flight Sim has been around for fucking ever.
Jeez.
Yeah, I don't know where exactly what is the map that they're adding for the Halo stuff? Because I know they're adding the Pelican.
Yeah, I don't think they're adding a map or anything, are they?
I thought it was just the
ship.
Oh, I thought there was a map because I know there was a section where it was like in outer space, and I was like, that's not in the game, I assume. So I was like, I wonder if they're adding a Halo ring or what's going on. I wasn't sure since I don't really follow Flight Sims since I'm.
I don't know. After that, Overwatch 2 getting an October 4th early access release. It's going to be free to play. Or if you want, there's a $40 package you could buy now that guarantees you beta access and the game on day one and some other bonuses and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so it's, you know, if you've played Overwatch 1, you've played this game, but with a couple less characters. Enjoy. I still don't understand the purpose of this game.
You don't understand the purpose of multiplayer shooters?
No, of this game specifically, because...
Why?
Because this game, literally, the only thing they're doing is adding a couple new characters. It is the exact same framework. Oh, and they're adding a single-player campaign.
Yeah, but that's...
Supposedly. I haven't seen anything.
That's kind of common for games, though.
Yeah, I mean, not for games like this. Usually, they just add the character into the game, like they've been doing with Overwatch 1 since literally it was made. I don't understand the purpose of making.
Yeah, this feels more like an expansion than an actual sequel. But I guess the story mode is what's going to make it. So,
yeah, I think
fingers crossed.
I think they should just sell the single player spec as a solo thing, and because like the multiplayer thing, just keep adding them to the original game. Because you're using the exact same framework and everything else. Literally nothing about the game has changed other than, oh, we're introducing new characters, which is something they've been doing in one for years. So you should just make the single player campaign sell it as its own thing. That just makes more sense to me. I don't understand why they're doing this. I think it's silly.
Nah, I don't know.
Money.
Yeah, money.
I guess.
Anyway, after that was a game called Era History Untold from Oxide Games.
It's just Civ.
Well, it's Era History Untold.
Yeah, it's still Civ. Literally, when you look at the game, it is Civ. That is all it is.
Did they even show gameplay footage of it?
I'm pretty sure they did.
Maybe in the expanded version. I don't know. I didn't watch the expanded version of the press event. I just watched the one on Sunday. But after that, Elder Scrolls Online is getting High Isle DLC next week. And then Fallout 76 is getting Expeditions the Pit in September. And then also on the DLC train, Forza Horizon 5 is getting Hot Wheels DLC. It is confirmed, and it is coming July 19th. So it's a month away.
Yeah, my kids will be excited for that.
Oh, I can't fucking
wait. Oh, you're going to be excited for that. Let's not lie. You probably play that game, the Hot Wheels game, more than your kids. You are the one who wants that DLC.
No. It's for Forza 5, Horizon 5.
And you like Forza Horizon 2. So, well, yeah, again.
my son actually, my oldest son, Sam, actually plays Forza Horizon more than I do. He just likes. Oh. Yeah, he just likes tooling around the open world and just, like, completely fucking around. Like,
understandable. That would, I have to assume that's probably the best part of that game.
Yeah. And just, like, crashing into trees and fences and stuff like that.
Well, that's fun, but...
I'm excited for it. I don't give a shit. After that, Ark 2, console launch exclusive, coming in 2023, day one Game Pass, starring Vin fucking Diesel.
Going to get killed within like the first handful of minutes of the game, because that would cost way too much to keep him throughout that game.
I think he's the main character, isn't he?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't know. Whatever. After that was Scorn. That's coming October 21st. No, I don't care about Wheelman.
No one cares about
Wheelman.
Dude, was I the only person that enjoyed that game?
Yes.
I've never heard of it, so...
It was a 360 game.
Still haven't heard of it.
You were supposed to like drive and shoot throughout stuff, although there were some like on foot parts, but it kind of sucked. Like those parts.
Scorn. But
driving around while shooting, it was pretty
Scorn awesome. Good.
October 21st for Scorn.
I really want man, that.
Scorn.
I've been looking forward to Scorn for a couple years now. I am excited for that.
Yeah, that one looks pretty good. And, Day one Game Pass, obviously. Flintlock, The Siege of Dawn is coming early 2023.
It's D&D, and you play as a warlock gunslinger. Hell yes. I can't wait. I'm so fucking excited.
There's so many games I don't remember anything about because there were so many, and it's been so long since the event happened. And it's been such a crazy week.
I remember all of those and all the PC one.
Nice.
Those are the two I remember. If you say the name, I'll probably remember what it is.
Next game they showed is a new action strategy game coming out in 2023. A little indie called Minecraft Legends. Another Minecraft game.
I like those games.
Something that I noticed, they did not mention exclusivity on this one, so I have a feeling this will be on Switch and PlayStation as well.
Oh, there's no way it would be exclusive. Nah.
Has any of the Minecraft games been exclusive?
No.
No.
Okay, I didn't think so.
Nope. Everything Minecraft is multi-platform.
Okay. Yeah, Microsoft is not dumb. They'll just rake in shitloads of money off of this.
Yeah, and it'll be day one Game Pass, so Xbox is taken care of there.
Yep.
Next was a game called Lightyear Frontier coming out spring 2023.
I don't know anything about it.
Aki? Helpful. Gunfire Reborn, a four-player co-op roguelite action shooter coming out October 2022. They're just a few months away. That one looked pretty good.
It wasn't on my list of things I really cared that much about.
I bet you the last case of Benedict Fox was, though.
Yes, I am. I'm up in the air on that one because I'm not entirely sure how it's going to play. Because some aspects of it seem like a Castlevania type game. And other parts of it seemed like it had Souls-like combat. And I'm just wondering which one of those it's going to go with, or if it's going to be a blend of both. But I'm looking forward to it. I really like the visual style it had. So it's interesting. I am keeping my eye on it at the very least.
Well, it comes out in spring, so we will find out in about a year or so.
Yeah.
After that was As Dusk Falls, which is up to 8 players, coming out July 19th, day one Game Pass.
That one didn't interest me that much.
What was that one? I don't even remember it.
I don't really remember that much either, to be honest. It was another one of those story games, like the old Telltale games, from what I remember. And
one with like the super hyper realistic visuals that's all stop motion. I am not interested in this game at all.
Yeah, me either.
I don't like the visuals. I don't like the hyper realistic look. That's still like animated. That. I don't mind that, but the fact that it's all like stop motion.
That like, I don't like.
I don't know. I'm not interested.
Yeah, I don't.
Why? Have you been burned by like stop motion looking games before? No, just
looking at the trailers, I don't like it.
Yeah, it's just visually unappealing.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm not usually particularly big on games that are like this anyways, that are, you know, these, choose your own story thing. Usually I'm just not big on those, so... It wasn't on my list, sadly. No.
Anyway, next game they showed was Naraka: Bladepoint, launching June 23rd, so just a few days away. Going to be on Game Pass at launch. They also have paid options that you can use to grab the game and some extra content. I think this is 64-player online, like samurai-style game, I think.
Yeah.
Getting that info right?
This is a martial arts-based fighting game where it's one of those, everyone's here and only one person wins. Go kill all the other people type games. It's really pretty. And originally I thought it was single player, so I was super excited. And then they were like, oh no, it's a battle royale game. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, you've just lost. Never mind.
No, it's on Game Pass. I'm sure you'll give it a shot.
No, I won't.
No?
No. I hate versus video games. I hate them so damn much. It's really pretty, though. It is so beautiful. If only it was single player, I would have been like, yes, I want this.
Who knows? I think you should give it a shot. You still might like it.
I doubt it. I'm not that good at fighting other people. I am so bad at it.
Anyway, next game they showed off was Pentiment, a narrative adventure from Obsidian Entertainment, coming out in November. I believe they labeled this one a console launch exclusive. I don't know if that means it's going to show up on, like, Switch or something.
Well, if it's a console launch exclusive, I think that just means it's timed exclusive.
But it's from Obsidian, which Microsoft owns.
Well, not everything Microsoft owns and makes games for stays on Xbox. They might put it to PlayStation. I don't know. But the game didn't seem that interesting to me, sadly. I don't like the visual style of it.
Yeah. I can understand that. It's a unique looking game.
Yeah. It looks like it's old style parchment drawings that have come to life, which is kind of interesting, but I just every time I look at it, I'm like, I'm not. No.
No. Anyway, after that, they announced Grounded is finally leaving game preview in September.
That just seemed more like it was just, hey, we have an update, is really all that entire thing screamed to me.
Yeah, I could have done without that. Whatever. After that was Erebon Shadow Legacy.
Yes!
From Raw Fury and Baby Robot, coming out in 2023. Aki, what's this one?
I reviewed Origami, I believe, and I think Cole reviewed Origami 2. This is basically Origami. Except for in this, you play as someone who pops in and out of shadows and kills robots instead of people. It's still a stealth game, still hiding from things, and you're still assassinating things. I can't wait for this. This is going to be so good.
Nice.
Matter of fact, it even uses a very similar art style as Origami, so I'm really looking forward to this. It looks so cool.
Has Baby Robot done anything else, or is this their first game?
I don't know. Let me look.
I'm not familiar with them. What's the game called again?
Erebon Shadow Legacy, Ereban.
That is their only game, at least on Xbox.
Yeah, they've been around since 2017 were 18.
Now it's another console launch exclusive, and we'll find out more in 2023. But also coming out in 2023, Diablo 4 shown off. Series X gameplay was shown off. It looks fucking incredible. It's going to be open world gameplay, which is interesting. A new class was shown off, the Necromancer. And I want this one bad.
That trailer was really good, I have to admit. That game isn't my style of game, but that trailer looked really good. That was so cool.
Yeah, I can't wait for Diablo. I'm looking forward to this one. After that was Sea of Thieves. You're going to be able to customize your cabin and name your ships. Season 7 is starting July 21st. So there's that for Sea of Thieves fans. After that was Ravenlock from Coco Cucumber coming out in 2023. They're the people who made Riverbond and Echo Generation, I believe.
This one, I don't actually remember. This one was also... This is another one I was iffy on because it looks like it's a lot of Soul-style combat. I love the art style, though. It's super cute. But I want to see more gameplay than just your character fighting one giant creature at a time.
No.
To know what kind of fucking game it is, because that's all you see is her fighting like three different giant creatures. I'm like, okay, so is it a Souls-like game that's just really cartoony and childish looking? Or is there more to this? Because that's really all it showed.
I don't know. We will find out more in the next year or so.
But hopefully it's something I'm interested in, because it looks super...
I hope so. I'm worried that a lot of these are 2023 and there's really not that much coming out in 2022.
Yeah.
This is like a bunch of years in a row now that there's not much coming out, and it's getting kind of annoying. But they showed off Cocoon, the new game from the dev of Inside and Limbo.
That looks interesting. It kind of reminds me of there's a crow game that you can play. This is an indie game on Steam, and I've forgotten what it's called. Never mind. Fuck. Sorry.
Anyway, this one's coming out in 2023, another console launch exclusive. After that, they showed off a game called Wolong Fallen Dynasty, a new game from Team Ninja coming in early 2023. I don't believe this one's exclusive at all, but it is coming to Game Pass.
Yeah. I like the concept behind it, but I'm pretty sure it's a Soulsborne game through and through.
Yeah, probably. I think it's like...
Kills my excitement for it.
A Dynasty Warrior Souls-like, I think.
Yeah, it's set in basically Dynasty Warrior's time, just not in the same area. And it seems to be a Souls-like, and I'm just like, aw.
Yeah. And then... For me, the huge news of the show, like the fucking bombshell of bombshells that I never saw coming, Atlus is back to supporting Xbox because Persona 5 Royal is coming to Xbox, Persona 4 Golden is coming to Xbox, and Persona 3 Portable is coming to Xbox, all coming to Game Pass.
I'm really excited for 4 and 5. The 3 Portable, I don't like how it looks visually, but I'm really excited for the other two. I've been wanting to play some of the Persona games because I never got into those in the PS2 era. So I'm looking really, really, really forward to those. Look like they're going to be fun.
Yeah, this should be some good stuff. Hopefully they do well on Xbox, and hopefully Atlus will support Xbox a bit more. Persona 5 Royal will be out in October, on October 21st. They also confirmed the games will be coming to Steam and PS5 as well. I'm not sure if they'll be same day as Xbox or if they'll be staggered releases, but everyone's going to be able to get to play them for the most part. No word on Switch. Hopefully they say something for Switch.
Yeah, hopefully, because I'm pretty sure all of these would be playable on a Switch without any real issue, even on the standard original Switch. I don't think any of these would be too intensive for it, so hopefully they get it.
Anna, you'd think Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2 would work on the Switch, and those are cloud versions.
I think that's more laziness than the actual system won't run it.
True. After that, they announced that, yes, it is happening. A new game from Kojima is coming to Xbox. And that's all. That's all we know.
Yeah, as you can tell, I am so excited for that.
Well, rumors are it's going to be a horror game, so I figure you'd be interested.
Oh, I didn't know those rumors. All I knew was he was making a game. And I'm like, okay, when last time you made a game, it was a fucking walking sim with balancing mechanics. No, thank you.
Yeah, it's rumored to be a horror game called Overdose.
Well, if it's a horror game, I might be able to get into that. Everyone is so, like, super Kojima, and I'm just like, he's okay. Most of his games don't make any fucking sense. And I've played most of them, so I know that for a fact. He's, you know, he makes really interesting stuff sometimes when he has a good crew behind him that tells him no.
Are you playing when he Cookie doesn't Clicker or something? You are, like, clicking like crazy over there.
Oh, no, I'm trying to find more information on different stuff. Sorry.
Here's your
didn't realize that was coming through. My bad.
Loud.
Yes, it is. When he doesn't have a team that tells him no, though, he makes a walking sim with balancing mechanics that's subpar. So I'm like, I'm not sure how good this game's going to be. Because he needs a team that tells him, no, this idea that you want to put in here, this mechanic you want to put in here is fucking stupid. And I don't know if he currently has anyone on his team who's willing to do that.
I don't know.
So I'm...
Well, we'll find out, I'm sure, by like 2027 or something.
Maybe.
Yeah. After that, they showed off an extended look at Starfield. The more I see this game, the less I care about it.
Yeah. Yeah, they said something like there's going to be like
a thousand planets.
And yeah. All I'm thinking is everyone keeps comparing this to fucking Elder Scrolls and Fallout. And I'm like, and they're all excited for it. And I'm like, you guys might be excited for that because you're remembering all the places where there was a bunch of crap to do, not the long stretches of walking and doing fucking nothing between all those fucking places. This being on a grander scale just means we're going to do nothing for fucking hours between doing something. No, thank you.
I was going to say, the comparisons that I've been seeing all compare it to No Man's Sky.
No Pulse in chat.
Just as
No Pulse in chat literally just said, stop comparing it to No Man's Sky.
Even if we go with that, that doesn't help anything for it. Because it's like, okay, so you still have a lot of fucking nothing to do. All right, cool. Not interesting. No,
it's just they're saying, like, you could explore 1,000 planets. I don't want to. I want a good story. It's like, you could customize your ship. It's like, I don't give a shit about customizing a ship. Like, you could customize everything. It's like, I don't give a fuck about that either. Like, I just want a good, solid story. And, like,
I don't think this is going to be a good, solid story.
Enough stuff to explore to keep me entertained, but not too much to explore that I get burnt out.
Yeah, I think this game would already, as is with the information I've been given about this fucking game, I think it would be better if it was like 10 worlds that you could explore and it was a more concise, tight
game. They say that it still has more scripted content than any other Bethesda game.
I don't believe that.
I do.
Todd Howard also said that fucking Fallout 76 was going to be a good game. He can eat a dick.
Well, Fallout 76 right now is a pretty good game.
No.
No Man's Sky. It took a while to get there, but it's decent.
Yeah, the only reason it's even halfway decent is because they added everything in to make it basically a single-player game, because the multiplayer concept parts of it still fucking suck. If it was a single-player game, it'd be better. And look at that. They've done everything they can. I mean, even the Pits DLC that they're adding into it is just basically a DLC from another fucking one of their Fallout games. They're just rehashing stuff to put into this game to make it more like the single player game, so it'll be better.
Oh, well. Well, we'll find out more about Starfield in the next year or so. From the extended show, they announced Valheim is coming to PC Game Pass this fall and will launch on console Game Pass in 2023 with full crossplay. I thought it was an RPG of some sorts, but then I found out it's a survival game, and now I don't care about it.
Yeah. I was kind of interested at first because I saw some of the gameplay mechanics or some of the gameplay, but they didn't show any of the survival stuff in it. I was like, oh, that looks like that could be kind of cool. It looks like an action adventure RPG. And then again, survival, I was like, oh, fuck that.
I'm so tired of survival mechanics. Like, that's a genre I could do without completely. Like, it could just go away and I won't mind.
Yeah, that is a very niche genre that for some reason everyone is like, yes, we need to make something for this. I'm like, it is niche. You're not going to be making back a ton of money on that.
I don't want to maintain my thirst and my hunger. I don't want to worry about whether I'm hot or cold unless it's one special dungeon that I have to get a fucking sweater in the previous dungeon to wear in the ice dungeon.
Yes.
That makes sense. But if I have to like maintain my heat and my warmth and like, I don't, oh God, just let me play a fucking game. Commandos 3 HD Remaster will launch on Game Pass in September, and Texas Chainsaw Massacre will join Game Pass in 2023.
I'm kind of excited about Texas Chainsaw Massacre just simply because I like the movie series.
Hopefully it's good.
Well, I mean, if it's as good as the movies, it won't. So,
I want to know.
If you like those types of games, it'll be fun. If you don't, you're not gonna
like it. I mean, I'm hoping that it's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Sadly, it's not a game for me.
Go
ahead.
Like, it really annoyed me how everyone was just like, "Oh my god, it's finally coming to consoles. They're finally making a game." Yeah, there was a Texas Chainsaw Massacre game for the Atari. Like, everyone seems to have forgotten it. Yeah, there was a Texas Chainsaw Massacre game for Atari. You play as Leatherface and you have to chase a girl around. And kill her.
That's so awesome. A 40-year-old game makes up for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That that old game sounds better than the current one to me.
I want to know, where was GoldenEye? There was so much talk about GoldenEye's coming. The achievements are live. The achievements are changing. GoldenEye has to be happening, and GoldenEye didn't happen.
I have a theory as to why. I believe that the Bond estate wants it to be, or the Fleming estate, I should say, wants to be the ones to get to make the announcement on that. At the beginning of this year, they said, you know, is it 50 years of Bond this year or 60?
I forget. Anyone would know it's you.
It's something. It's an anniversary year. This year, and they were just like, oh, well, like, we've got lots of announcements coming, like, you know, so stay tuned. So I'm willing to bet that
it's the Fleming estate.
Yeah, they want to be the ones to make the announcement. Like, they're not going to give that to Microsoft.
Who knows? Isn't there some GoldenEye anniversary event happening in like August? Someone said.
I don't know.
We'll find out. But where was Banjo? That was the other one that was heavily rumored to be showing up, and we didn't see anything.
Oh, I didn't hear anything about Banjo.
Yeah, there were a lot of rumors about Banjo getting a reboot.
And that's why you never trust rumors.
Anyway, some other non-Xbox-related news. Dragami Games tweeted out that Lollipop Chainsaw is back, and to please look forward to it.
I really hope so.
I never played that game, but it always looked kind of cool.
I'm amazed you never played that.
I know, a girl in a short skirt jumping around with a chainsaw. Yes.
Yeah. And, I mean, I got to play it on my ex-girlfriend's PS3. I thought it was pretty fun.
Was it on Xbox?
Yeah, it got an Xbox 360 release.
It's not backward compatible, sadly.
It's not backward compatible, but you can get like a sealed copy for like $20, $25. So it's not hard to find a copy.
Okay.
It's not hard to find a lot of 360 games. It's just you can't play them on the Xbox One.
I still have
my 360 connected. It's fine.
Yeah. I've been tooling around with my 360 this week, actually. Anyways,
yeah, you're finding out the pains of the 360 wireless card is dog shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, the thing is that like what I wanted, I've got three hard drives for it, and I want to get all of my non-Xbox, like any Xbox 360 game that cannot be played on my Xbox Series X, I want them to be downloaded onto the hard drive. And so far I've got like, I think it's like 120 games between three hard drives.
For consolidate like that shit, man.
I plan to. It's just like I'd have to get another external hard drive for it. But
just like a 1 terabyte hard drive. Plug it in, copy everything over to it, you're good.
Yeah, I understand that, but I also have to go back and find the rest of my games because not everything's on there. And so I was going through their marketplace, and it's just, it's real surprising, like all the shit that's like still available to buy. Mm-hmm. That you can't play on the Xbox One, but also just like all these like random games that like I didn't even know it existed. Like there's a handball game, there's a rugby game. I forget what the other friggin' international game was, but it was cricket. Just like
cricket.
Yeah, thank you, cricket. And I was just like, shit, I didn't know like these were available for like digital download back then. Like,
oh yeah, there's a few at least of rugby and cricket. I don't remember what the
first handball. One.
Is that, but yeah. What is that? That just sounds like basketball to me.
I'm not all too sure.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know how many of those there are, but I know there's a bunch of cricket and rugby. There's a fuck ton of those.
You get Doug Flutie Maximum Football, too, on Xbox One.
Oh, yeah.
They've got years that of that.
Name is silly.
Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance 2 is going to be hitting current consoles in the summer.
Cool.
So Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC. So that's good news. It was confirmed Street Fighter VI will have rollback netcode and crossplay.
We'll pretend that we know what that means.
Yeah, I know what crossplay means, but what the fuck's rollback netcode?
Tim can explain it better, but it's basically the better way to do netcode.
Oh, okay, so it's nothing instead that of delay any based.
I don't understand the difference between delay and rollback, but rollback is supposedly the better version. And if you can do rollback netcode, you should.
Okay, so this is on the engineering side that literally no player is ever going to give a fuck about.
Oh, players will give a fuck about it. They just might not be able to explain it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Anyway, Pokemon Snap is hitting Nintendo Switch Online Expansion Pack June 24th. So, there's another game. Dragon's Dogma 2 was announced as happening. That's all the info we got.
That's cool. I've only heard good things about Dragon's Dogma, so that's cool.
Yeah, Final Fantasy VII Remake launched on Steam.
That's awesome. If only the motherfuckers would finally bring it to Xbox.
Yeah, no word on an Xbox release. So thanks, Sony.
We're getting the Crisis Core, whatever it is.
I was getting to that. Final Fantasy VII 2 Rebirth will release in winter of 2023 for the PS5. Again, no word on an Xbox release. And then Crisis Core Final Fantasy VII Reunion is launching winter 2022 for all platforms. And it's a remake of the PSP Crisis Core game.
Yeah, we get to play the prologue of the game that we'll never fucking get.
I'm more excited about Crisis Core than I am about 7 Remake. Because at least I could play 7, the original 7, on my Xbox. And I don't have to worry about all the changes they're making.
Oh yeah, 7 Remake isn't 7 beyond like the first like 5 minutes of that game.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the news I have. Aki, do you have any news?
Yes. We have Sonic 2 news because fuck you, Jacob.
I can't wait to hear what you have to say about it.
You can buy
it. You're like, God damn it.
you can buy it on DVD and Blu-ray, and there's a nice steel book to it.
Ah, dang it. You took Joe's news.
Yes. Yes, I did. 100%.
Best Buy Steelbook. It's using the Genesis themed artwork.
I have to say, it looks very nice. I do like.
Yeah, I'm gonna pick that up. That comes out August 16th. It looks like on 4K and Blu-ray.
I still need to go and watch that. I haven't seen 2 yet.
Me neither.
Have you seen 1?
I haven't seen 2 yet. No, I haven't.
Have you seen 1?
Yes.
Okay.
You know it's in the Vudu account, right?
You say that like I watch frequent movies. Do you know how many movies are in the Vudu account that I have never watched?
What the fuck is Vudu?
It's basically like an online account service.
Oh.
For movies like and TV shows. Yeah. Okay. It's like Netflix, except like you have to
pay. It's your library.
Yeah, like you theoretically own it for forever. And
until the servers close down.
Well, because yes and no. So at this point, it's now connected to multiple retailers. So there's like a lot of titles that I have that will also transfer over to iTunes.
Oh, that's cool.
Vudu, Xfinity, AT&T service, like, you know, so hooray. Okay.
That's cool.
Yeah. All right. And Jacob thinks I watch a bunch of movies. So, like, right now, on my shelf that I can see, I have The Suicide Squad, I have Free Guy, I have Jungle Cruise, I have Rick and Morty season, whatever that is, I have Puppet Master, I have Jackass Forever, and I have Spider-Man, and I've seen Jackass.
I have 18 movies that are ready to be watched on my browser that have been here for months, and I have like 5 or 6 movies that I've got for Christmas last year that I still haven't looked at. I haven't even finished season 2 of Korra, and I got that 2 years ago.
Yeah, I don't watch that many movies, so.
They made Street Fighter 2, the animated movie, available for sale on Vudu the other day, and I was just like, fuck yeah, and I bought it immediately.
Which one's that one?
It's the anime movie.
They have a couple of those, that's why I asked which one.
Oh, it's the one that has Chun-Li showering, and like you get to see her boobs for a couple seconds.
Okay, I think I know which one you're talking about.
Aki's immediately Googling that right now. No. She's binging that right now.
I mean, yeah.
If I was doing one of those, it would be Bing. You are correct.
I mean, because you got to get those Microsoft Rewards points.
No, when you're looking for titties, it's always Bing. Bing.
Why?
Because Bing is just turn safe search off, and Bing has everything.
Bing is Bing is the only one I actually use. Period. but no, I remember a scene of her showering. I don't remember her tits in it. So that's because I'm pretty sure I know what it is.
They cut it.
Ah.
Even the quote unquote uncensored version, back when it came out on VHS, it was still censored. Bullshit. You didn't get to see the boobs until I think it was like 2010 when they did a DVD release.
Yeah, I think I watched it on Adult Swim forever ago.
Anyway, Jacob, what news do you have?
No Sonic news. Eat a dick.
I mean, just for that, I think I'll report on Sonic 2's box office for the week.
Motherfucker!
You know I have an hour and I gotta leave, right? So,
what news do you have? I actually don't have any news.
Okay, good.
I wanted to, but I really didn't care.
Me neither.
I had more news than Jacob for once. I feel accomplished. That's never happened before.
I feel glad for you.
Good. I do too. So it works. All right. Video game reviews.
All right. We ready for reviews?
Yes.
Yeah. Are you
ready? All right. First game to talk about tonight is Super Impossible Road, developed by Wonderful Lasers, Inc. and Gunstone Studios, published by Rogue Games. Released June 8th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, and PS5 for $19.99. In the future, you've got to play a little dirty if you want to win races. Master hairpin turns across dangerous courses that twist and coil over beautiful galactic backdrops, knocking opponents into the void of space. Bypass gates and checkpoints and roll over competitors on the way to first place. Jacob, what's going on in Super Impossible Road?
So with this game, when I watched the footage, I was just like, oh my god, is this like the heir apparent to Marble Blast Ultra? If you remember that classic Xbox 360 game, which unfortunately is no longer available. Which essentially it's just, you know, marbles going down a path and you have to get from point A to point B, avoiding stuff along the way. This, I wish it was, but it's not. But that's okay because it's very much its own thing. So in this one, yeah, it's just you're in the void of space. You have this track that, you know, twists and turns all over the place, and you have to learn to start boosting or jumping off of certain points, and then you just hit them, like It's essentially like hacking around with Rainbow Road in Mario Kart. And so you're trying to like jump off and like figure out your own shortcuts and stuff like that. Now the game's videos make it seem like, you know, you could just, I mean, if you want to, you could theoretically just like fuck off the side of the race and then just fall down to the finish line. But that's not actually how it works. The game is on a timer for how long you're off the track. And so you don't get a whole lot, like you can't just win it in one fell swoop. You're going to have to plan out your falls and your jumps and stuff like that. And honestly, the game gets kind of nerve wracking as you do it. It's a lot of fun. But like my anxiety, like shot through the roof as I'm like, as I was trying to, just, I just wanted to finish, you know, if I won, that would be great. But after a few tries, like most of the tracks, which seem impossible, you eventually like start getting the flow of these races. There, I mean, there's also time trials and like, you know, try to go through all the hoop because it tries to teach you, you know, how to figure out your own shortcuts and stuff. And so like there is plenty to do in here. And yeah, it's just, it's a really unique racing game.
Unique.
Creeper.
Do you not know the unique joke by now?
I don't think so, no.
Oh my god.
You've
got to get caught up on Tuesday shows.
Anyway. So you also have checkpoints all throughout the track. And the checkpoints are obviously where you save your space. So it's something to keep in mind that if you just keep bouncing off of the edge, like to the next area, you'll want to eventually find a checkpoint and go through it. Cause otherwise next time you fall off the void, it's going to pop you all the way back to the last checkpoint you had passed through, which can severely fuck you over. That being said, I didn't get to try out any online multiplayer. There wasn't anybody online when I tried it out, but I could see this game being a lot of chaotic fun.
Yeah, it does have up to 8 players online multiplayer if there's, you know, people playing. That's one of the big downfalls with games like this is I love that it has online, but I worry that not enough people are going to get the game to populate the online.
Yeah. And honestly, like this is, it's a pretty fun game. It's nerve wracking at first. And I wish the game gave you more time to fall off and figure out your own shortcuts, but yeah, it's really fun. And if you're looking for a new type of racing game, I would highly recommend checking this out.
Oh, well, it is $20. What is your verdict?
$20 is honestly a good price for it. Cheap ass Jacob is comfortable with that.
Alrighty. Next game to talk about is Pro Gymnast Simulator, developed by Wallaber Entertainment, published by Red Deer Games, released June 10th on Xbox One and Switch for $19.99. Enjoy controlling every important movement of your athlete. Do your best to replicate real-world gymnastics or find your own play style. This game gives you unlimited expressive freedom. Jacob, I am terrible at this game, but I am having so much fun with it, and I don't know why.
Well, I could tell you why. My wife calls this game Dead Body Simulator, and that's because I don't know what the heck is up with sports games that do this, because oh god, what was that super sports ball? What was that game that we had on here a while back?
There's a lot. Super.
Yeah, I think it actually was called like sports ball or something like that. Do you remember? Like, you remember what I'm talking? Like, you could shoot a basket with a bowling ball and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. With that game and also this one, you go into the training or practice area and you think like, oh, this is where like the game will show me how to do stuff. No. And even worse, like the menus are like so bare bones. It's like, do you want music? Do you want sound? Okay. Well, then you could just exit now. and so, like, there I am playing the training thing, like, hoping I can figure out, like, how to make this game work. And all I'm doing is making my gymnast like fall down onto the ground. And I'm making these movies of just like, oh my God, we watched somebody die. Cause like she'll fall over in these like ridiculous positions. And then what really freaked my wife out was that I was having her do like these flips around the bars and stuff. And yeah, my wife was just like, the human hand should not be able to do this. Like this. Wait, did that person lose a leg? And we're actually not sure. Like, we have reviewed, because I saved some game files of footage of me playing this game, and we reviewed like the video, and we're actually not sure if the gymnast somehow lost her leg in it, or if it's just like the game model makes it so like the legs are always together until like you stand on the ground. We don't know, but whatever. Anyway, so I was having tons of fun, absolutely dicking around in the training area while my wife was horrified. And then I decided to go through the it's not called campaign, but like the competitions. Yeah. And lo and behold, that's actually where the game starts teaching you stuff and how to actually like work the game. And it's like, oh, this makes more sense. I'm still sucking, but at least it makes more sense. Like, so. And of course, like the game menus still don't reflect what the controls are. So you have to really play the game to actually figure out what the heck is going on. That being said, I mean, like there's no multiplayer for it. You're just by yourself and you're just trying to like win your competitions and making your gymnast like flip all over the damn place.
It basically turns into like a physics puzzle game. And it's like, I don't even know if I'd
call it a puzzle game. It's just a physics game, and you could let that dead body fling around on those.
You have to figure out how to get to the end of the stages. You have to figure out how to collect chalk thing. You have to figure out how to meet the score goals. It's definitely a physics puzzler. It's definitely for people who enjoy the trials games. With the momentum shifting and the body positioning, because you're controlling the top and the bottom of the athlete with the analog sticks. Now, I can't control the analog sticks worth a fuck in this game because my brain doesn't work, but...
Well, you watched my videos, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, you weren't able to do stuff like that?
Well, I could do some stuff like that, but, like, I couldn't consistently get myself to like swing around. I couldn't get the technique down that I needed.
I had that issue as well, and I really wish that the game's like practice actually had a real tutorial in there, because the game does not explain itself like pretty much at all.
I mean, it explains what it needs to explain in terms of like what the buttons do, but it's not very clear on some of the missions you have to do. This game
needs more polish. So like, it's fun to mess around in, but yeah, like it feels more like a demo than an actual game.
Yeah. Well, it's sitting at $20. What are your thoughts?
Is it fun to fool around in? Yes. Is this a good gymnastics game? I would go with, from what I can tell, probably not. I don't know. Like, I had a lot of fun messing around in it. But it's just getting through the actual game was confusing, and the game's not particularly helpful in that regard. I'd put it as a try it at best, but there's still work that needs to be done on this game.
Yeah, I think if they continue to work on it and I don't want to say improve the physics, because the physics seem okay. It's just improve the overall
presentation.
Presentation. That's a good word. It needs some little touches to make it more playable and more cohesive. And I'm having fun with it. It's just, I don't think it's $20 fun.
Yeah. Not in the state that it's currently in.
Nah, if it was $10, I would be all over this, because I think it's ridiculous fun. $20, it's a harder sell. It is on sale right now for $15.99. That's a little more palatable, but I would still wait for a bigger sale on this one. But
yeah,
when it is a comfortable price for you, I think it's a goofy, fun time. If you like physics games and you like if you're a fan of Quop, you'll love this.
Now, I don't know what that game is.
Q-W-O-P, you don't know what Quop is?
Nah.
The running game where you control the
legs. Yeah.
Using Q-W-O-P.
I've only played that a couple of times, but yeah.
Yeah. Good shit. All right, next game is Remote Life, developed by Next Level Games, published by Rattlake Games, released May 27th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $18.99. Remote Life is a 2D side-scrolling shoot-em-up, a shmup. Experience a fast-paced action game with striking aesthetics. The gorgeously animated 3D graphics are full of creepy monsters, ominous backgrounds, and menacing bosses. Featuring 16 different unique combat missions, get ready to fly through a vibrant and haunting alien world. The game is a full immersion in an unseen world. Jacob, what are your thoughts on Remote Life?
So in this game, Earth finds out that, you know, there's this alien like race that's about to invade. And so they send off like one of their best pilots, and immediately he dies, and they're like, oh shit, like, well, all right, plan B. So we're going to pop you outside the ship. Now then you have to break in, and then we'll have other pilots doing other shit, and we'll try to get you some shit along the way. And you're like, okay, cool. And it's all done with this really terrible, like, auto-tuned voice acting. So you might want to mute it. Like, it's... it's not good. But yeah, so you're going through this alien ship, and there's like a lot of like weird stuff. And one of the things I do appreciate about it is that it wasn't just like random bugs or stuff flying like through. Like it was stuff that was like actually like crawling along the ship, or like crawling like from underneath, like where you couldn't see from the camera's line of sight, and then crawling up onto like the screen in front of you and then going out towards you. Like it did some pretty neat stuff with it. That being said, like the level difficulty on this game is ridiculous. And it's not just like, and it's, the thing is that it's not actually because of like the enemies that you're shooting at or anything like that. It's just like your fighter plane is made out of paper mache. And anything it touches, you just disintegrate immediately. And you get 5 chances on every level. And if you don't make it, fuck you. Start over again. And it was ridiculous for me. Like, the thing is that, like, at first I was just like, oh, well, it's not, like, I'm just, like, not used to these controls. I'm not used to, like, how the aliens are coming out. Because I eventually realized, like, there is kind of, like, a beat to it with the music and the aliens that are coming out. Like, there was something going on with the music with it, and I was like, oh, well, if I just pick up the patterns, like, you know, I'll get it. And it's just like, no, you, like, your wing just grazed the side of the ship, so guess what? You're gone. And it's just like, fuck you so much. So yeah, so if you are looking for a shmup that's going to give you like a ton of like difficulties and challenges, then this is going to be up your alley. Like if you complete games where it's just like you don't touch anything and, you know, you get out of there with 100% health and that is like your idea of fun, this is totally up your alley. If you like want to go on easy and, you know, just blow through the game, this is not going to be it for you, because playing on normal is still one hit kills. And it's just, fuck, man. Like, I really wanted to enjoy this. Like, it's not bad, but it's too challenging for my liking.
Well, and it's $19. What do you think?
So if you are a very seasoned shoot 'em up player, or you just really enjoy the challenge, it's totally worth the $20. If you are not, then I would recommend waiting for a sale.
All right, sounds good. Next game is Zeus Quest, The Rebirth of Earth, Developed and published by CrazySoft Limited, released June 10th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $9.99. You control Zeus, the boss of Olympus, who is a crazy character. He tries to fix a time machine to save the planet from explosion. Everything happens in a Greek mythology time frame. The characters and dialogues are fantastically funny and translated into 7 languages. There's English voiceover in some cutscenes. We use vector art, a unique cartoonish style. Jacob, what's going on in Zeus Quest?
Well, by unique, that's a word for it. so it by today's standards, it is not drawn particularly well. It's a very indie game, and I mean it's very indie. With an art style that honestly it reminds me a lot of like early 1990s point and click adventure games like on DOS or like Windows 3.1. And it just, yeah, so you play as Zeus, you wash up on shore, and you're like, I don't know how I got here, and that's weird, I can talk to this goat, how do I do all this other kind of stuff? And so the game, you know, obviously with any point and click adventure game, you're just randomly clicking on shit trying to figure out like what can you pick up, what can you talk to, what can you see, all that kind of stuff. And the game gives you 4 items from the start, but it doesn't actually like really tell you what they are or what they, you know, might be able to do. And so for the longest time, I was just going nuts right at the very beginning, trying to figure out like how the heck everything works. And thankfully the game actually includes a guide within the game itself that you could just pause the game, check out the guide, see what you have to do next. And then go right back at it. So thank God for that, because there's quite a few things in this game that just you're not going to pick up on immediately. They're not intuitive. But you know, and when they say it was hilarious, that word gets thrown a lot around these days. It's amusing at best. Like I didn't have anything that like I thought was laugh out loud funny, but it has its charms to it. So pretty much you just have to go through the levels, figure out what to do next, and then go on to the next point. It's standard point and click adventures. The real question is do you like, can you put up with those graphics? Because it is definitely not the prettiest game that. It's not the prettiest point and click adventure game that's out there.
It's an acquired taste visually.
Yeah, it honestly is. But that being said,
well, how about this? They advertise it as designed for all the family, including the kids. Content wise, what do you think of it? Is it good for the family?
So by good for the family, I would say that it is a game that you can play around your kids. My 4-year-old would be absolutely freaking lost in this game, and he would hate every single second. But then again, I also wouldn't expect a 4-year-old to play a point and click adventure game. And I'd actually be afraid that they were like an alien or a robot if they were. But my 7-year-old, who can read and, you know, is more able to figure out this kind of stuff, I think he would just be like, nope. So I don't know if I'd say it's for the whole family, but it is at least a game that you can play around your kids.
So it is family friendly. Yeah.
Yeah. In that regard.
Yeah. Well, the game's sitting at $10. What do you think of it?
For $10? I don't think it's a bad choice. I mean, there's other point and click adventures that I'd be up for, but if you're a fan of the genre, I'd give it a shot. $10. You can't really go wrong with that price.
Achievements fairly easy.
Yeah, and with the guide that's included in there, you're going to get them as you go along.
Nice. All right, well, you got one last game to talk about. That is Why Pizza, developed by Marginal Act, published by Sometimes You, released June 22nd on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $4.99. Why pizza? Because it's awesome. You're one of the delivery guys working in a pizzeria, and you need to hurry because pizza can get cold. Jacob, what the hell is this game about?
Good question. So it's from Marginal Act,
where if people recognize the name Marginal Act, you know you're in for something weird.
Yeah, that's putting it mildly with this game. So it's a physics puzzle platformer, and at the beginning you get to choose which character you're going to be. And it's just, you know, it's just you're choosing, like, what kind of food do you want to play as. And you start the game, and it's explained, hey, by the way, you need to deliver this pizza, otherwise you're going to lose your house. So go deliver that pizza before it gets cold. And each level, it's just, I mean, it's standard platforming, but you have to control your own body, but you also have to control the character's head. And the head can really fuck things up for you. Like, it's almost like playing Pro Gymnast Simulator, the platformer. And so you now have to navigate being able to jump around, but also making sure, like, your head's not going to block where you're supposed to be, or, like, you're not going to get caught in any kind of traps or hit anybody that you're not supposed to. You're also going to be looking for, like, secret coins and stuff like that. And trying to deliver the pizza. And it's just, it's one level after another, and they all get increasingly harder while also having to deal with, like, the intentionally frustrating controls. So it's a lot of fun in its own right. It's also really frustrating. But, you know, as I said, it's intentionally so. So, yeah, it's just a really fucking bizarre game.
Visually, it is distinct as well. It's got a very
cartoony,
odd style to it.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me a lot of, like, late 1960s, early 70s animation that you would see. Not like cartoon shows, but like the stuff you would see in ads, or like Beatles Yellow Submarine, like that kind of stuff. I don't know what that specific art style is called. But it reminded me a lot of that.
Well, the game,
I guess it would be Eastern European.
I don't know.
Really, because I know a lot of that stuff was influenced by it, or European, I should say. But anyway,
the game is $5. This is one of those downsides where it is not cross buy. So if you buy it on Xbox One, you also have to buy the Series X and S version. Thankfully, on Xbox, at least, you do get a discount if you own the Xbox One version and then buy the Series X. If you buy the Series X, you don't get the discount on the Xbox One. So make sure you buy the Xbox One version first and then the Series X.
Yep.
But it's $5. What are your thoughts?
$5, it's totally worth it. it's just a really bizarre platformer to fuck around in. And the achievements are theoretically easy. Just have fun navigating your head and your body at the same time to the to each level's exit.
Nice. All right. Well, Jacob, that is it for you.
You got 40 minutes of Aki.
Yeah, well, hopefully not. Jesus, that would be painful.
Aki, annoy the fuck out of him.
Will do.
Jacob, do you have any final words before you do the goddamn tweets?
Farfignugan?
All right, next game to talk about is The Hand of Merlin, developed by Room C Games and Crow Team, published by Versus Evil, released June 14th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $29.99. The Hand of Merlin is a turn-based roguelite RPG in which Arthurian legend clashes with cosmic horror. Recruit a company of up to 3 mortal heroes and guide them in spirit on a desperate journey from Albion to Jerusalem. Aki, tell us about your time with the Hand of Merlin.
Okay, so this is a little RPG that's very tactical. When you start off, you choose 3 adventurers. One of them is a, you know, sword using melee person. One is a bow user, and the other is a magic user. You can't get 3 melee people in this. You have to pick one from each category. At first, you only start off with one in each category, so you've got a grand choice of nothing. But you can look and see how to unlock other people in each category. And if you fulfill those actions, you get a new person that you can play as instead of the original schmuck. I assume the ones after that are stronger. as I said, I assume there's a reason for that. This game is not particularly easy. It's a very luck-based game, because when you start off in wherever the hell you start off. I don't remember. It's just some random fucking castle. But after that, you are shown basically this giant board, and you can take different pathways that all branch and stuff, but you can only continue forward, so you can't go backwards to any of the places you haven't been, which kind of sucks. I'd like to clear a map completely, just because it's me. Granted, I wouldn't be able to do that, but still, I want to. And each one of those gives you something that might happen. And there are, most of them seem to be random. A couple of them seem to be, okay, this one always has you choose between these two actions you can take. And, you know, one of them might give you more money, one of them might give you food, or you might get a chance to do something. And those are actually rolled out. You get a success or a fail rate, and it tells you what your chances of success and failure are. And afterwards, it puts cards on a table and tells you to pick one. And when you flip it over, it says either success or failure, which is really fun. So it's misery inducing. Yay! you're going to die a lot in this. I have very little else to say other than you're just going to die a lot in this with that. There's nothing else to that sentence. Because the battles are not easy. You fight both monsters and bandits. The world's ending. Everyone knows it. So bandits are trying to stop the only people who can stop the world from ending. Bandits aren't very smart. It's a shame. So you stab the shit out of a bunch of those, providing they don't kill you. Each character has its different abilities. When you're in combat, you have a move action that you can do, and then an attack action. Well, I guess technically you could also dash, which is two movement actions. You only get two, I think it's two actions you can perform each turn, maybe three. And basically each ability you have costs a certain amount of them. So if you have like, this requires two actions to do, well, then there you go. There goes two actions for that fucking character. Have fun. Thankfully, it's not just, oh, you have X amount of actions you can take in this turn, period. Use them however you want. Because I would accidentally use that all on one character, and I know that. So that's probably a good thing that they split it between each individual character, or else I'd fuck everything up even faster. This game is set to be difficult. It's made to be hard from the get-go. You, as you're going through the paces or spaces on the map, some of them are, you know, keeps that are friendly to you, which is great, because in those you can, you know, buy food, buy new artifacts, they're called, which just give your character special abilities that they can use sometimes indefinitely, sometimes only once, and then the item's gone. Or, you know, you can even visit blacksmiths and stuff and get better gear so you don't die quite as fast. You're still gonna die. So just give up on surviving this. You're fucked. And you know, there's also corrupted areas where the combat is significantly harder, and I don't think you can get from point A to point B without hitting a couple of those. So that sucks, because when they say they're harder, they're a lot harder. They're so much harder. And in these areas, you fight beasties that are evil, monstrous, demon-y thingies, like a giant slime monster and weird demon bug things. Weird fucking critters that they hit hard, and they usually have special abilities that can fuck you up even more. And they're not fair. They're just not fair. They're not fair. They're little bastards. And so far, I've managed to make it to the second island once. I think there's five different places you go to. Four or five. I've gotten to the second one time. I suck at this game. I was not expecting it to be this hard. I was like, oh, the this looks like something. This shouldn't be too bad. Oh God, no. And it's because it's based on luck. Like if every one of the squares you visited was one set thing and it was the same thing every playthrough, you could eventually maybe work out how to get your way through it. Because they all give you a handful of different random things that might happen on that square and it just picks one at random, it becomes increasingly difficult to do that. And if you have an unlucky run, you're not... I played through like 7 or 8 times before I managed to get to the second island. I've not done it in the like next 10 or so times that I've tried it. Because it's a great deal of luck, sadly. And I don't particularly like that game. I'm not lucky. The combat is pretty nice when it's in your favor. When it's not, it's very unfair, seemingly. You can use cover in it by running up to something that's, you know, half cover or full cover, and that lowers the chance of ranged attacks hitting you. Supposedly, I've never seen an enemy miss hitting me, and I've missed them so many fucking times. But really, all you have to do to get around that, if an enemy does it, because they'll do it too, is just walk around it, and then you get a 100% chance of hitting them, and you hit them, and it's great. And hopefully they die. They don't, you're still fucked. There's not a lot of healing in the game, so once you start taking actual health damage, you start getting pretty butt-fucked pretty quickly. You start off with X amount of armor for each character, and when the combat ends, your armor is fully brought back up. But any health damage you take after the armor is gone does not come back. You have to heal for that. Which means either you have to spend a ton of money that you do not have to get healed in a city, or you have to hope that the magic person's skills that you get eventually will be healing, because every time you level up your character, they give you 3 skills that you can choose from as the skill for that character. Healing may not be one of them in any of the level ups you get, because you get 2 or 3 level ups. And then after that, every level up, you just get to increase one of those 3 abilities you already have. If you don't get the right skills, your run is fucked.
Seems like you had a rough time with this one.
Yeah, and it all comes down to so much of it is chance. You can't really plan for things in this, and that makes it much harder than I feel is really necessary for it.
Well, that's the beauty of roguelites.
Well, I guess that's true. There is something you get to take from every play, from every run. Sometimes you find these little magic things that allow you to unlock a magic ability on Merlin's little magical Rubik's Cube box that he gives you. And those that you've unlocked stay with you. I think you can only choose one of them to have every run. But the more of them you unlock, the more of them you get access to. Yeah. So that's nice.
Well, this game is sitting at $29.99. What are your thoughts on it?
I am very hard-pressed to give this a buy it, because it's so much luck-based, and it's just banging your head against the wall until, not that you develop skill, it's until you just get a really lucky run that you may never manage to get again. If you like these kinds of games, because this is very old school style of this type of game, if you're for this, this is going to be fantastic. You're going to love this. Everyone else, I don't think anyone else is going to like this type of game. This is a very niche game, in my opinion. So if you're into this niche, it's definitely a buy it, because it's good at what it does. But for anyone who's not for this niche, this isn't going to make you want to play it. This is just going to make you hate it more. So, I don't like this game personally, sadly.
All right. Well, you got one last game to talk about. We got one final game on the docket tonight, and we are getting into SML After Dark territory. George, take it away.
SML After Dark.
That is right. SML After Dark time. Final game to talk about tonight is called Sisterly Lust, developed and published by Perverteer Games, released March 2020 on Steam for $14.99, and we're covering this one because they have a new game that just came out that we'll be talking about next week. After the sudden death of your father, you come back to your hometown and move to a new home to live with Liza, Bella, Rachel, and Susan. Will you discover their personalities and secrets and maybe even develop romantic relationships with several of the girls? Aki, how pervy did you get?
Oh, I went full harem route, obviously. And there is a full harem route. There is a full harem route where you get like 12 different women. I love this game.
Well, what is it? Right, what do you now, do in this one?
Okay, this is a 3D animated, all by one person. Perverteer is a one-person studio, I'm pretty sure. So they wrote it all, they animated it all, they created all the models, et cetera, for this. And this is basically, this has a lot of fetishes. It's a visual novel, and it has a ton of fetishes. And you can probably guess what one of them is by the name of it. If you can't, then you probably shouldn't be listening to this review because you're like eight and this is not a game for you. Go away. In this, like most raunchy visual novels, obviously incest is one of the things you can do. You can always fuck a sister. That's just a part of life. And the house you're moving into is your family's house. Susan's your mom, and the other three, Bella, Rachel, and Lisa, are your sisters. Supposedly, they claim they're your sisters, and the story says they're your sisters, but literally everyone in your family has a completely different hair color, and it's all natural, and that doesn't make any sense. The mom's a brunette. You have gray hair, for some reason. One of your sisters a blonde, one of them's a redhead, and the other has black hair, and all of it's natural. So they're totally all your sisters. Totally. And you get to romance all of them or piss any one of them off and be kicked out of the house and have a game over because you did fucked up. There is a corruption meter, which just basically tells you how much you can do with each sister. And each one also has a trust meter. And if the trust meter goes to zero or under, you fucked up. You fucked up. You big time, you fucked up. That was an oopsie, and you don't want an oopsie. So in this, each one of the girls has their own issues, and you're the knight in shining armor, because of course you are. Susan is literally the only one you're not the knight in shining armor of, and that's fantastic. Hey, someone can solve their own fucking issues. It's amazing.
Oh, Lord.
But you've noticed I've only mentioned four girls, and I said you could get a harem of 12. Yeah. Well, each one of these girls has other people that they introduce you to, and those people, almost all of them, are seducible. So yay! Rachel has
out of 12. How many did you get?
12.
Nice.
Yeah, I went full harem. Yeah. Rachel has a couple friends, Anna and Alina, who you can get introduced to, and Anna has a cousin named Chris or Krisa that you can get introduced to. Then Bella works with a girl named Morgan. Lisa introduces you to Iris, and your mom can introduce you to Arena, I think is her name. I don't remember. I think that was all of them. God, there's so many. I feel like I'm missing one, but I don't know who anymore.
It's okay. It's okay.
There's a lot. But the game starts off with, you know, you've been estranged from these members of your family for most of your life, for like probably around 16 fucking years, because your youngest sister is in university and she was young enough when your dad split with you, that she doesn't even remember her dad anymore. So which would indicate she was fairly young at that point. So you've been gone for a very fucking long time. So you're just trying to get to know them again. You get some reminiscing about who they were in the past. Not that they've changed much. Bella, the second oldest, she's a little bit older than you, was a bitch, and she's shockingly still a bitch. Lisa was the oldest and always was more the most mature, and guess what? She's still the oldest and still the most mature. And the youngest is still has youngest child syndrome. So, yeah. but then you guys go on a vacation to a tropical island. And that tropical island is run by a king who married like six women, and all of them were his siblings. So that island is fully pro do whatever you want, you know, as long as you're not diddling things that do not consent, go hog fucking wild. And then everything starts to fall in or out of place if you so desire.
Before you give too much of the story away, you don't want to give too much away. I want to appreciate that you have 16 and a half hours in this game.
I thought it was 18 and something hours.
I'm just going off of what Steam says. It says 16.5 hours played in the past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And you have 39 out of the 45 achievements.
Yeah. Well, and I got this on what, Tuesday? All right.
Before something the like show. That. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's $15. Yeah. Bucks. What are your thoughts?
I'm really for this. There are some other fetishes in the game, but thankfully you can ignore them. Like there's a water sports fetish that's just common in these types of games, but thankfully you can turn that off and it just removes that part of that scene. You can also get all the girls pregnant. So, nice. And there's both pregnant scenes of still being with them and non-pregnant ones if you've chosen not to go that route. So that's really nice. There's a few different routes you can take with some of the girls. So it has some replay value. So I'm really for this. I think it's totally worth the price. This is something you can spend a lot of time on. There's even an ending where you don't get with anybody because you're a loser. And I'm pretty sure it's called a Virgin Loser or something like that.
The Jacob ending. The achievement.
Yeah. so yeah, I'm for this. It is really well written. All the models are really well made. I thoroughly enjoyed this one.
Cool. And we will talk more SML After Dark next week on the show. But for now, that is it. We made it through. Thanks to you for being here. Thanks to Jacob for being here.
Thanks for Pervateer for giving me a porn game. It's been a while since I played one of these. Thank you.
Well, you are officially like the only person I've given permission to go out and pursue games, and only if they're adult games.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I overloaded you with like 20 of them.
Yeah, you're like, here's 20 games. Find me all of these. I'm like, you know what? How about you fucking find them yourself? I have like so much shit to do with so many games on this, and I just don't want to muck up my search history that badly.
Yeah, my search history is already a fucking gutter, so because I don't clear it, I'm not concerned. If anyone wants to get on my computer and look up my porn history, go right ahead. You'll never be the same ever. I promise. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Do you have any final words to end the show?
Incest is wincest.
Incest is best.
Well, that works too. Yeah. But Wincest is better. Yes, it is. It rhymes. Fuck you.
What is best?
Not as well. Don't argue with me.
I'm the host. I win this argument. End show.